Colleagues, can you be quicker, please?
Nelson Diane, member of Portfolio Committee and the military veteran. Thank you.
Comrade Dan.
Sabotage the word. What's happening? I can't hear you. Are your mics working?
Try. There we go. Good morning. My name is David Mania. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans, and I represent the Democratic Alliance.
Over to the Commission.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. My name is George Busiello. I am the Chairperson of the Interim National Defense Force Commission.
Good morning. I'm Abu Baker Ismail. I'm the Deputy Chairperson of the Commission. Thank you.
Mr. B. Woromisa, member of the Commission.
Dr. Anna Mukhokong, a commissioner.
Professor Renfrew Christie, commissioner.
Lieutenant General Mulloy, retired, commissioner.
Bishop Malusi Mpumlwana, commissioner.
Good afternoon, Kenwe Mkabadeli, commissioner.
I am Peter Groenewald. I'm a commissioner. I'm also a part of the committee. That's our chairperson. If you need the quorum, you just tell me. I'll cross the floor.
All right, comrades, let me welcome that. I take it that the other guests here are from the department and the media. I welcome you again. On our apologies for the meeting, we have Honorable Member Van Wyk from the ANC and Honorable Member Lorimer from the DA. We then can proceed with the agenda in front of you. I will then invite the presenter from the Commission to give us a presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. Allow me first to start by thanking the Portfolio Committee on behalf of the Commission for having accepted our request to come and attend this meeting and share our observations and the progress that we have made in the pursuit of our mandate so far. Chairperson, I hope you and your honorable members will recall that not long ago, to be precise, on the 13th of October 2009, this committee appeared before you to share its thoughts with you with regard to the task entrusted to it. Just to recapitulate and to set the scene, I said on the day that we had come here for principally three reasons. The first reason was to introduce the Commission to you, which I'm glad is here in full force, except one member, who unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond his control, was not able to be with us today. And secondly, I said, the Commission was here to share with you its draft program of action and its draft timetable in terms of it resolved to undertake the task assigned to it. And lastly, I said, the Commission is coming here not pretending to have all the answers to the problems, but to share its views with you. And most importantly, to invite you to make comments inputs and recommendations to the commission, which we hoped would be of assistance to the commission in undertaking its mandate. Perhaps I should pause and say the reason why the commission is in full force here this morning is precisely because it appreciates the importance of this project that we have undertaken and the constant consultation and collaboration between us as a commission and you as the Portfolio Committee on the Defense. I said on that day that the task that you have undertaken is a Herculean task. But I assured the commission that notwithstanding that, we were not intimidated or deterred by that Herculean task. And I made an undertaking that the commission has resolved that it's going to hit the ground running. They're going to roll up their shirt sleeves and they're going to start working. We are here today to report to you on what the commission has done and to share with you our perspectives, our observations, and to tell you how far we have gone in an attempt to achieve that which we set out to do. In a nutshell, we are here to brief you on the progress that we've made with regard to the remuneration of members of the South African National Defense Force on a short-term basis and the conditions of service adjustment. And quite importantly, on the progress that we've made on the draft bill on the establishment of a permanent military service commission. Once we have done that, this commission is eager and will be happy to receive your comments and your inputs and suggestions on what we shall have shared with you. I shared with you on that day the terms of reference that had been given to the commission by the minister, which were to serve as guidelines or a lodestar for the commission. There has, however, been some significant intervening events which have resulted in the minister using her prerogative, amending the original terms of reference that had been given to the commission and giving this commission a draft amended terms of reference on the 9th of November 2009. We have not as yet, as I'm speaking to you, received the official version signed by the minister with regard to the amended terms of reference. However, in a nutshell, they read as follows. The commission is to advise and make recommendations on a unique service dispensation outside the ambit of the public service. Bullet number two, to advise on the regulatory framework for the unique service dispensation for the South African National Defense Force. And three, to investigate and provide advice on remuneration and conditions of service of members of the South African National Defense Force. These in a nutshell constitute the core terms of reference of this commission. Now, in an attempt to facilitate the work of this commission, and as a matter of strategy, the commission decided to adopt the following approach to the task. One, to make recommendations on a unique service dispensation for the South African National Defense Force. Bullet number two, that the recommendations must include the establishment of a military service commission / National Defense Force Service Commission. I will at a later stage explain to you the difference between the two concepts. With regard to the commission, the task of the, with regard to the permanent commission, the task of the commission would be to deal with the following: how the commission is to be appointed, its terms of reference, its functions, its staff components, its relationship with the Public Service Commission, its relationship with Parliament, its reporting responsibilities to the President and the Minister, its oversight role over the South African National Defence Force in respect of the Interim National Defence Service Commission's mandate. And furthermore, to develop a framework for determining the salaries and conditions of service for the South African National Defence Force members, which the new Military Service Commission, or if you will, the National Defence Force Service Commission, will be able to use, implement, and develop, subject to any changes which they may deem prudent and appropriate. Chairperson, counting from the 13th of October 2009 to today, it's barely 25 working days. I'm proud to announce to you that in the 25 working days that we had available to ourselves, this commission has done enormous work. What follows here under is a breakdown of what the commission has been busy with in the past 25 days in terms of the program of action. One, the commission has met frequently in the last few weeks in an attempt to get a deeper understanding of the nature and the depth of the issues affecting the South African National Defence Force, so that it would be in a better position to provide a more detailed report to the Minister of Defence and military veterans before the envisaged date of December 2009. In the process, and in the course of these various meetings, the Commission has had meetings with various stakeholders, amongst which are the Portfolio Committee on Defense itself, the Defense Staff Council, the Military Command Council, the Secretariat Council, the Military Trade Unions, and the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans. In addition thereto, and in an attempt to get a better insight into the issues confronting the commission has also deemed it proper and did, in fact, visit a number of military bases and interacted with the command of these various bases, the South African National Defence Force officers, the non-commissioned officers, and the troops at the various units. In order to avoid accusations of bias or favoritism, and in order to get a full and holistic picture of the issues pertaining to the various units, the Commission decided, in its wisdom, that during these visits, it will insist and it will have, and did in fact have, separate meetings with different levels of commanders, officers, non-commissioned officers and troops, the purpose being to allow all levels to have an opportunity to state their issues and or concerns, and not only that, but also to make recommendations to the commission without any fear and or favor. You will certainly recall, Chairperson, that when we made the address on the 13th of October 2009, the Commission had tentatively identified a number of stakeholders which we thought had a direct and substantial interest in the project or assignment that had been given to us. We thought that it was proper and it was our duty. In order for the commission to retain its credibility and public confidence, to consult broadly and extensively the various stakeholders. In the short term available, we have had consultations with the following stakeholders. I've already referred to the fact that on the 13th of October 2009, we were before this August body, the Portfolio Committee, where we did the preliminary introductions. On the 19th of October 2009, we had consultation with the Defense Staff Council. On the 20th of October 2009, we had a meeting and consultations with the Military Command Council. On the 21st of October 2009, the Commission had consultation, a meeting with the Military Trade Unions, SANDU and SASFU. On the 26th of October 2009, the Commission traveled to and visited the South African Army, the 21 South African Infantry Battalion in Doornkop and in Lens. On the 27th of October 2009, the Commission flew to the headquarters of South African Air Force in Hoed Strait, where we had a meeting with the various levels. On the 28th of October 2009, the Commission once again flew to Simonstown, where we visited the South African Navy fleet, and we had full consultation, a meeting with the various stakeholders. On the 29th of October 2009, the Commission met with the Secretariat Council. Can I interpose to indicate that at that stage we, as a Commission, had gained some insight in the problems bedeviling the South African National Defence Force? Some of the observations that we had made at that stage appear to us to be of such a serious nature that they called for an urgent interim report to the ministry. The commission met, prepared and settled an urgent interim report to the ministry, which was sent to the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans on the 5th of November 2009 and requesting an urgent meeting with the minister to discuss the report with her and inform her in greater detail of what the commission had observed in her various visits. On the 9th of November 2009, the commission visited and had consultation with SEMS, one military hospital in Pretoria. And fortunately and happily, on the 9th of November 2009, the Commission had the privilege and honor of having a meeting with the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans in Pretoria. On the 12th of November 2009, the Commission this time had workshop, full-fledged workshop and consultation with the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers, the Inspector General of Intelligence, Alexander Forbes, the Chief Human Resources, South African National Defense Force, and the Chief Defense Legal Services. These consultations and these workshops related to the issue of the remuneration packages of the members of South African Defense Force service conditions, as well as the issue of the law relating to the permanent South African National Defense Force. Yesterday, 17th of November 2009, the Commission had a follow-up workshop with the members of the senior police officials from the SAPS. The purpose being to share with them their experiences, the approach and the methods they adopted in the negotiations for a separate unique service dispensation for members of Southern Police Services. We also had a follow-up workshop with the Chief Human Resources, Southern National Defense Force, to clarify issues which appear to us not to be clear from the first workshop that we had with them. We also had another fully-fledged workshop with a member of the Alexander Force, with regard to our specialists, with regard to the issue of grading and salaries, as well as the officials from the Chief Defense Legal Services with regard to the legalities and the complexities and implications around the issue of the draft bill. Precisely because of the very serious time constraints within which this commission has had to execute its mandate, and the various other interested stakeholders that we had to consult with, it has not been possible for the commission to consult with all the stakeholders that would have loved to consult with. However, we have taken note of that, and we remain convinced that for the commission to be able to say it has executed its mandate to the fullest, there are other important stakeholders that we need to consult with in the last remaining days before the cutoff day of December 2009. And these are the stakeholders that we intend to see soon hereafter. We have a meeting scheduled for the 19th of November 2009 with the Army Support Base, Johannesburg, and the Personnel Services School. We have a meeting already secured for the 24th of November 2009 with the Secretariat Council. We have yet a meeting scheduled already for the 26th of November 2009 with the Defense Staff Council. We had indicated in our draft on the 7th of October 2009, and we have not changed our undertaking to have an urgent consultation with the Public Service Commission, with the Minister of Public Administration and Development, with the Minister of Finance and National Treasury. We hope to be able to secure these meetings as a matter of urgency. It is also the intention of this commission, as it undertook on the 7th of October, to consult with political parties represented in Parliament, and also to consult with relevant civil society organizations. Chairperson, I know and I can feel it, that you are anxious, and correctly so, to know where the commission stands now. I have the pleasure to inform you that as I'm speaking to you now, the commission is on its last lap in its attempt to comply with the mandate of the minister to furnish her with a report mid-December 2009. We are busy tying the loose ends. In essence, what we are now busy with is a revision of the salary structures and other proposals which are currently under review, and the recommendations for the interim short-term relief to be made to the minister by the end of November 2009. Two, recommendations with regard to the draft bill on the establishment of the Permanent Military Service Commission / National Defense Force Service Commission, which we hope will be given to the minister before the 15th of December 2009. We hope and we will ensure that the first report of this commission is tabled with the minister by mid-December 2009. This is how far we have moved. I said the last time, Chairperson, and I repeat what I said the last time, that this commission does not claim to be the sole repository of intelligence. We have come to you to share with you what we have done, what our observations are, give you a perspective, and we are anxious to hear from you what your views are and what your inputs are. Perhaps before I hand over to you, I have to explain the difference between the Military Service Commission and the National Defense Affairs Commission. In my view, it's a matter of nomenclature, it's semantics. The Military Service Commission is a term that was interposed in the new terms of reference given to us by the minister. It's not our term, it's the minister's term. I do not think there is much to it. It connotes the same thing. You call a rose by different names, it still remains a rose. That, in a nutshell, is what we have come to share with you.
Let us thank you, the Commission, for the brief report presented in front of us. Honorable members, the terms of reference were presented. The Commission was given a time frame and deadline that by this time they would come and report to us. I now throw this to yourselves. If there are any points of clarity or whatever questions that you want to raise, Honorable Diale, followed by Honorable Manier, then Dade Mutsetsi.
Honorable Chairperson, once again, I welcome our commission and appreciate its presentation this morning. Mine is not a question, but it's an appreciation. The Commission has taken a drastic step in a very short time and space to go to the practical work that has been designed to. That's very important. I quite appreciate for that. I've said last time that the newly born baby, a unique one, is really, according to my observation, a very unique one. In a very short space of time, we have done a very good job. The Commission has done a very good job. I appreciate it. Now, I would just a few little questions to the Commission. I would like to know what was the reaction of the unions, because the Commission has met two unions, and what was the reaction? I'm asking this question because the unions were so radical, getting out of our hands, but today there is a quietness. So what was the reaction so that the committee can understand at the present moment? That's my question. And may I also impose one question once more? What the commission has found, more particularly, the condition, the accommodation conditions of our armed forces. Because I'm asking this question because it's primarily important. We are dealing with the human beings which we assume to defend us. Therefore, we feel that their conditions for accommodations, salaries, are to be improved. When I understood on the question of salary, but we need to understand the accommodation, the barracks and all that. If at all the commission managed to get to that. And I want to thank you very much, Honorable Chairman.
Number two, number three, as per your list, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to deal with three issues initially. The first, I'd like to deal with what seems to be the confusion in respect of the terms of reference. Judge, you said that you have, up until now, not received any official terms of reference from the Ministry of Defence, which I find surprising, but you said that these terms of reference had been amended in the light of, and if I quote you correctly, significant intervening events. I would like to know what those significant intervening events were and whether you could shed light on why it is you have not received any official terms of reference. That's the first question. The second is, you have spent a lot of time visiting various military formations, and you say in an effort to gain a deeper understanding of the nature and the depth of the issues affecting the SANDF. Now, given what you have seen, what are the top five issues in ranked order that you consider are affecting or negatively affecting the SANDF? Then the third question concerns the interim report. You said that you have submitted an interim report to the minister, and that report was furnished to her on the 5th of November as a result of, and again if I quote you correctly, events of an urgent nature. Now, what exactly were those events? What were your findings and what were your recommendations? What caused you to find it necessary to furnish the minister with an urgent interim report? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm covered partly on some of the issues I wanted to raise, but at the same time, I wish to extend my appreciation to the work that the commissioners are doing. It's well appreciated. And most in particular, on the last part one slide, under revision of salary, one appreciates that while the issue of the salary structure is being looked at least there is a short-term relief that is being recommended to the ministry. That is really welcome. And the question I have could be somewhat unfair because it hinges mostly on those who might have been disadvantaged, those who might be stuck in certain ranks because of the problem of transformation within the SANDF, those who could possibly have been in a much more improved remuneration bracket, but because of the problems within the structure itself, they get stuck at a particular rank and particular level. I suppose those could be issues for long term, not necessarily short term. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Comrade Dan. I'm sorry, Member, that I arrived late. I've got a baby, so I had to go and sort out a few issues with her. But there are still issues that, listening to you, that I want you to go in a little bit. Maybe you should clarify us. I saw that David put it very strong when he said that if the commander-in-chief speaks this way in how we relate to the union, what informed the commission to move and engage the trade unions? The other aspect that came up was the court, or the court challenge that goes around. What came out of the Constitutional Court? How do we deal with that particular development? We have to go into the details because they are not giving us details, they are giving us the consultation, but would want to hear that some of these issues that we had raised before we could move forward as a committee, that what happened to those issues and interrelated to the law, you have met with the commanders and you have met with the law. What is the relationship? What are the state of... Give us some insights as members of parliament, because we don't have a substantial report in front of us. So maybe the committee must really elaborate on some of the issues, the content of exactly what is going on, what informs your position, so that we do know that what are we giving over, or where do we say the commission should go from here. So give us some sense again, Judge, more on substantial issues that are related to the ones that you have been doing, more than the skeleton that you have given us. The skeleton we really appreciate, but the substance that relates to your mandate, what is it that we should learn from? Molam Kabate. Connect dialogue with Kabate. So cool is a lapine son a little to visit. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and I welcome the very direct and pertinent questions that have been put to the Commission. Because quite coincidentally, they go to the heart of what we do. But as a necessary prelude, let me say our report might appear to be rather cryptic to you for very good reasons. We had wished to have had a meeting with the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans before we met the Portfolio Committee, in order to bring certain things to her attention, clear certain things with her, particularly because we report directly to the minister, but quite importantly, the minister, as I'm speaking to you now, is in possession of the interim agent report that we prepared, the draft report. So the commissioner would have been much more happier if we had had an occasion to speak to the minister and receive her consent and approval to come and open up that interim report for debate with you. But in order to assist you to understand our report, we will give you snippets of what we saw, which will enable you to understand the report.
Can I raise a very pointed question in terms of relations? You know that Parliament and Minister and both of you are coming to Parliament. How do you understand that, sir? And how does it work according to your mandate? Give us a sense of what. Don't complicate it, because you would want to know exactly that type of relationship.
Our understanding is that unlike with other commissions, this is a special ministerial commission appointed by the minister. Therefore, reporting to the minister and answerable to the minister, without saying that we are not accountable to Parliament. But we thought in terms of the line function, our first port of call is the minister, because it's a ministerial commission, unlike a presidential commission. Thank you. I want to deal first with the question of Mr. Dial and combine it with the question raised by the Honorable Chairperson with regard to the trade unions. Let me start first by answering the question, what informed the Commission to engage with the trade unions? You will recall that when we met with this August body, the Portfolio Committee on Defense, on the 2nd of October 2009, we had identified and we informed this commission
of this committee, of the important stakeholders that we deemed appropriate and prudent to consult in execution of our mandate by then to engage on a broad consultation. And among the key stakeholders were the following: members of the Defense Force or their representatives. These would include the military trade unions. Any of the meetings with the military trade unions would take place on a without prejudice basis, implying that no preference is expressed for or against the existence of the military trade unions by this commission. The views of COSATU or other trade union federations will be conversed at a much later stage. But having said that, I then requested the commission to make inputs, to make recommendations, as I've done today. And my recollection is that our draft program was accepted and adopted as it was by the committee. So we left this building with a full understanding that we had an approval of this committee to do that which we told you we were going to do. And that's exactly what we did. Now, the amended terms of reference that have now been served on the commission by the ministry were only received by the commission on the 9th of November 2009. We had already seen the trade unions in October already in terms of what we understood by then to have been our approved mandate by this committee. But perhaps to answer the question, what informed us to engage the trade unions? It's precisely because we understood, and I said that day, we are active citizens of this country. We read newspapers, we listen to news bulletins, we watch TV, and we know what is happening in this country. The issue of the trade unions is a constitutional matter, in the sense that we are sitting with two judgments of the highest court in this land, which declared Section 126B of the Old Act unconstitutional, sent the act back to Parliament and said, you shall amend it to conform with the Constitution. Our Parliament amended the act and provided for the trade unions. So our view is, yes, we will have to go and read the Constitutional Court judgment. We will have to determine their legal implications and constitutional implications. But we cannot wish away the trade unions. We thought it was important for us to engage them, to interrogate with them, their existence, the role they perceive for themselves within the military, and whether they think that they can make a positive role. Mr. Jal asked us about what the reaction of the union was. Like everybody else, we thought the trade unions would come to us being very negative and very antagonistic. They came to us and quite frankly and fairly made very important input. Acknowledged and understood and appreciated the rationale behind having a national commission. And I thought it was a milestone that we managed to engage them and persuade them and to say, if we are serious, we want to have a defense force that is well-structured, that is well-trained, that is well-motivated, that is professional, it has to operate within a certain structure. And the structure that the minister has said should be in place is a national commission which will be responsible for negotiating conditions of service of members of the National Defense Force, including the salaries. So to that extent, the reaction of the two trade unions are very positive. However, what we got from the soldiers on the ground as we spoke to them was,
sorry, Judge, you know, I want to hear
here's the commander in chief, he makes a particular position. And he said that you have to counterpose that with what is in front of you. Now, you're not explaining to us that what does it mean, what the president has said to the country about unionization in clarifying this matter. But I know that the minister on that last day has promised to take some legal arrangements to be able to keep guidance. Has the commission followed that path without the sentiment of you being a citizen? That I accept, but I want the legalities of what you have been mandated for.
In our program of action, we did indicate that, amongst others, this commission is going to seek legal opinion on the issue of the trade unions and how we can go about it. If we come to a conclusion that there is no place for the trade unions because it has to go through the legal route, unfortunately, we have not come to that stage where we have started to obtain legal opinion. It's our next step. But as I indicated in my report earlier on, I wonder whether you're here already. We have already started to interrogate and to settle the draft bill for the Permanent Commission. What we thought was prudent to do was to engage the various stakeholders and get them to buy into the concept of doing away with the trade unions and bringing in the Permanent National Commission. To that extent, we have succeeded. The various units that we visited, we engaged them on the issue of the trade unions. And they all indicated to us, they said, we did not want to join trade unions. The Defense Force created the climate for the existence of trade unions because we are sitting with grievance mechanisms within the Defense Force which are not functional. Nobody listens to us when we have complaints. It is only the trade unions that come to us and listen to us. So it's an alternative way of articulating our complaints. And quite curiously, the upper echelon of the Defense Force admitted to us that that defense mechanism is not working. So it's an issue that has to be looked at. If you want to get rid of trade unions, we'll have to go and look at the grievance mechanism and show that grievances can be lost at lower level and be allowed to go through up to where they're supposed to be. As I'm speaking to you now, we have a record of some 665 outstanding cases in the military court, which have not been attended to. Over a number of years. That have not been attended to. Members are demoralized. They are disgruntled. They don't know where they stand. Something must be done about it. These are the harsh realities that we're confronted with.
I really need to get clarity. You know, just these things are about the Constitution. It's why I'm trying to get that. Does the President have authority over the Constitution, over the soldiers or not? Because if you call him Commander-in-Chief, what does that imply? That's all I want clarity. So that tomorrow, when it comes to us, and in relation to how we formulate the law, should we be mentioning the President or not? And that's the basic line I'm trying. I understand the sentiment, but I'm dealing with the matters of principles here that if this stakeholder is not important, or whatever the Constitution has given him that power, doesn't it have authority over the soldiers? That's all I'm trying to find out. Because when he spoke to the Commander-in-Chief and also the President of the country. And I wanted to know that within that engagement, had to clarify this matter for us, because it's a lesson that we should be able to learn from. So I want you to be able to say something in relation to that matter.
Volunteer to address this. Chairperson, honorable members, and colleagues, yes, it is the policy of the present government to pronounce, to say that we don't want unions in the military. But legally, the Defense Force Act, as ordered by the Constitutional Court, still recognizes the existence of the union. The best approach to this would be for the Portfolio Committee and the Department of Defense to separately review that issue of whether you need union or we don't need them in the Defense Force. Because our terms of reference, especially the amended terms of reference, are clear. They say stay away from the union, contrary to what we presented to you here. And you will recall that when we were here last time, we advised that you need to review whether you want to give the commission terms of reference to review the issue of union. And the minister promised to sort a legal opinion on that. So therefore, yes, President Zuma has pronounced on this, but that's a policy of the current government. But legally, you need to address that obstacle as the committee and the Department of Defense. Thank you.
Put it in legal terms. The president is the commanding chief of the force. He has all the rights, all the powers, all the prerogatives over the force as the commanding chief. But then we have the Constitutional Court that has pronounced on the matter. And we have a principle which says all shall be equal before the law. And we are all obliged to respect decisions of our court. In recognition of the role of the court, our own parliament accepted the recommendations of the Constitutional Court and amended the act and incorporated the trade unions and the bargaining council. But as we're speaking now, those things exist. It does not stop parliament to go back to parliament and pass a new law which amends the existing law. But we are confronted with the fact that as we're speaking now, they do exist.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, I appreciate the concern that the Chair is expressing on what appears to be a variance between the view of the Commander-in-Chief of the Defense Force in the person of the President and what may appear to be action by the Commission that is contrary to that. I think that there are three things that need to be taken into account. First one is that the Commission actually did come before this committee to present its plan, which included military trade unions meetings. And within days following that, that meeting happened as part of our orientation and understanding of issues. There was no express statement against that before we had those meetings. And that is why we have said that we only received that prohibition, so to say, on the 9th of November, a couple of weeks after we had our meeting. That was the first thing to recognize. So it's not as though there was an express a statement against that which we overlooked. Secondly, we are working in an environment that is fairly volatile, as everyone understands. Whether we wanted to talk about or with the unions or not, there was not a single unit that we visited that did not have very strong views in favor of the work of the unions. In fact, contrary to everything we said about this process dating back to some time before the 26th of August when the soldiers stormed the union building, contrary to our strenuous explanation that it has nothing to do with that, everyone believes that were it not for that action, there would be no respite in their situation. Thirdly, and this is my view, a very important part, I see the role of this commission as having played, if you like, a pastoral role that enables the people that are aggrieved to feel that there is an ear to listen where they say they haven't had it. And you cannot go to people who have a grievance and say to them, I'll talk to you, but I don't want to talk to your friends. It doesn't help the process. It does not advance the cause, which I believe is the cause also of this portfolio committee. I suspect that had we not agreed to see the unions, which, by the way, were expected not to agree to see us, had we not agreed to or planned to see them, we may well have had very limited progress made in all the meetings we've had with the units of the Defense Force everywhere we've been. I believe that part of our success to date can be attributed to the fact that we were not shy to express a willingness to meet with the union. And if that is an offense, we really would like, I would like to say it's regrettable.
Chairperson, I'm not going to add much more to this issue of the union, save to say that as of the 9th of November, given the amended terms of reference and the direction from the minister, which says that the terms of reference of the International Defence Force Service Commission to investigate and consider forms of voluntary association for the military, including trade unions, are not within our terms of mandate. We, therefore, may not pronounce one way or the other. We have, since 9th of November, been asked to desist from making any pronouncement. So, from now on, we will not be saying anything else with regards to that. What that implies, really, is that how then the issue of the unions get dealt with, and any consideration in that regard, is left to the Minister and Parliament. And if the decision is made to remove the trade union with all its ramifications and the issues of the Constitutional Court, that is left to Parliament, but it has nothing to do with this commission any longer.
Don't you want the chair of the commission to proceed now? Or that?
I wanted to come in. I'm not sure if for now this is the rounded report, because I just wanted to make a little bit of a follow-up, Chairperson. Can I go ahead?
No, I wanted to give them first to finish the report. Is that what you
okay.
kept asking around this to get
okay.
more clarity.
Okay.
But they don't finish the reporting, and then after that, there's another round of questions. This is the only topic today, Dad, so you'll have all the time to ask. Welcome to the committee. Your colleague is seated on the other side. Mukabade.
No, my hand was not up, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question that related to, I will combine them, accommodation conditions by Mr. Diale, our soldiers being human beings who are supposed to be treated humanely and with dignity, and the salaries. And the question of the, given what we have seen, what are the top five issues which we thought adversely affected the South African National Defense Force and which made us to compile an agent report? I think these are the key outstanding issues that I want to speak to you. Firstly, let me clarify there's a misconception. I did not say that there were significant events which led to the amendment of the terms of reference. When I talked about significant events, I related them to what we discovered in the course of our visit, which led to the urgent interim report. I'm not too sure what led to the amendment of the terms of conditions. The terms of reference. We only received them on the 9th of November 2009, and unfortunately, I wasn't present at that meeting where the minister made them available. However, I had been made to believe that they had been emailed through to me as the chairperson of the commission much earlier, but I never received them because, as at the time, I was on recess and I was in Pretoria, I was not in Bloemfontein. But the five key issues that resonated, that were like a common thread in all the various units that we visited, relate to the grievance mechanisms,
which are not working, relates to the complaint of the salaries, the remuneration, relates to accommodation, which in some instances is subhuman and appalling, relates to infrastructure that is old and falling apart, relates to issues of deployment, relates to the failure of command and control, which was of quite serious concern to us, relates to the serious relational problem between the Defense Force and the Department of Public Works, which has led to the problem with regard to accommodation ability. And that is the reason why we are going to have another meeting with the Secretariat, because this is an issue that we wanted to discuss with them. The issue of salaries and remuneration and accommodation is so acute that at some stage we wonder just how our soldiers survive with the salaries that they're getting. We were told in very graphic terms that because of the salary bracket where they are, they do not qualify for RDP houses. While at the same time, because of the meager salaries they earn, they do not qualify to go to the banks and secure bonds. So they fall in the cracks. And what are the cracks? To go to the informal settlement. And they stay in the shacks in the township. It has affected the morale adversely. One of the commissioners described the position at Lens and Doran Corp as a ticking time bomb. This is what prompted us to prepare and draft an urgent interim report to the minister to draw her attention to this and say, we are sitting on a time bomb. If you don't attend to it today or yesterday, you're going to regret it. At Doran Corp and Lens, there's a complete breakdown of discipline. Complete breakdown of discipline. You find barracks where people are supposed to be sleeping where there are no beds. The ceilings are falling apart. The toilets are not working. The showers are not working. They have not been visited by anybody from senior positions. They see themselves as the stepdaughters of the defense. Nobody cares about them. Nobody wants to see them. Nobody wants to talk to them. And they told us, you are our last hope. That's the extent of the problem.
No one from the commission wants to ask the boy? Okay, before I take the second round, you come, sir.
The spend of the state on the defense force, well, the previous state at the height of the struggle was spending about 4.5% of GDP on defense around 1989. It was 3.8% about around 1994 when the struggle was won. By the year 2000, it was down to about 2%. It is now about 1.2% of GDP. This is studied worldwide, and it's studied historically. The World Bank suggests the minimum should be 2%, and the general thinking in the literature is that once it gets below that, and particularly once it gets to 1.2%, you are likely to have serious trouble with the happiness of your soldiers. We are now at 1.2%, which this commission, I think, has come to understand is not going to be enough in the longer term. Our immediate short-term recommendations are going to the minister regarding salaries and accommodation. But in the longer term, if you want a defense force, you have to spend money on it.
I do appreciate the interest of the commission, but you have laid the basis so that members of parliament can also ask questions. No, I accept your excitement, Judge. But give my members also an opportunity to reflect on your report so that you could also engage them. Members, I have
Dan, I have Manny. Who else? I've got Dato Tolo. Any other member who would want to raise his hand? I have Ndabeni. Okay. Can I start with you, Dato Dan, with it?
Chairperson, once again, I want to really appreciate the work that the commissioners have done. And at this stage, I want to believe that they most probably constitute a buffer between the grievances of the forces and the state. And the work that they have done, which they are reporting on right now, it indicates that in their interaction with the troops on the ground, the troops themselves are saying, we don't necessarily need a trade union. The problem we have is that our grievances are not attended to, that the structures of the military are not competent to attend to our grievances. Hence the statistics that we see before us now, the 600 and odd cases which have not been attended over a period of years. Now, when you come to the very last page on the way forward, now, the recommendation here with respect to the draft bill on the establishment of the Permanent Military Services Commission. This services commission, in one way or the other, it can be able to operate as that particular forum that would regard the grievances of the troops the grievances of the troops would actually to them constitute the duties and the tasks of that particular forum. Because it is this particular structure which would be able to attend to the concerns of the president, where the commander-in-chief says, we do not need this particular structure, but we need to attend to the grievances of our troops. Now, it means, in essence, Chairperson, once this particular draft bill is finalized, it might be that particular, structure that we actually need in order to attend to the grievances. Yeah. Thank you.
But I wouldn't expect them to respond to it now. I would reserve it as your comment. A very learned friend of mine. Yeah, can I give you, Mr.
Thank you, Chair. It's very hard not to gain the impression that this commission chair has gone wobbly. And it's gone wobbly, it would seem to me, because there are no, or up until the 9th of November, it seems that there were no clear terms of reference. Now, when the question of military unions came up at the initial meeting with this committee, the minister undertook to take legal advice and to possibly amend the terms of reference of the commission. And the confusion is not the commissioner's fault. The confusion arises out of the minister not clarifying the terms of reference for the commission. And I think that's a major problem. But the real question that we've not been able to get at, what are the terms of reference of the commission?
David, I don't want us to
work on the basis that the minister has not cleared it. Because if you listen to how the judge is capturing it, looking at all the legalities, he does say it is the preserve of ourselves also as members of parliament, of how we deal with what came out of the constitutional court. Now, given that this is a constitutional state, it does need us to reflect more strongly on the matter than positioning blame on any other person here at this moment. So I don't think it's, I mean, if you listen to how, that's why I was trying to engage the priest or the judge quite in a way, because he does say that at a human level, it was unavoidable for them not to engage, which all of us concede that at a human level, it would have been difficult to prescribe and not ask them to be able to stick to that particular mandate. So they themselves put it quite clearly that it is a human feeling that they have, that it's important for them to engage the different unions. So it should not be positioned or be thrown back to the ministry, but it should be more of a position that we're all concerned. That's why I was trying to get more clarity about the issue itself, you see. I'll talk more to the issue as we proceed. Dr. Tolo.
Thanks very much, Comrade Chairperson. Comrade Chairperson, I'm so happy to see a church leader, because one day I was talking in 90 Plain Street to say the army is a structure of God, and while I was quoting the Bible, now, and well, some people that say we're not in the church, you know, my belief always, everywhere I am, my heart just thinks about God. To me, it's very, very important, and I know this government also is a God government, and it came from God. Now, to see a church leader like me, so we are so happy on that. And Chairperson, I just found out, consultation with the political parties represented in Parliament. I just found out those political parties are talking about the portfolio committee, different parties, or our leaders in parliament or party, just find out. And consultation with the relevant civil society organization, what is their view, this civil society organization, about this problem they will have? Thanks so much.
Noted to Mama Mkagadele. I want to give, you see, you're on the other side now. I want to give the last member of parliament. I've not taken you away as a member of parliament, but you're the member of the commission. Just be patient. Let me give you Mamundabe. I'll give you after they finish.
Thank you, Chairperson. In echoing what my honorable colleagues have been saying, appreciating the wonderful job done by the commission, I fully support. But I further request some clarity from the Chairperson of the Commission. When you reported, you mentioned that on your visits, you also found out that the conditions that the soldiers were living in are very unbearable. But then I want to understand, what steps have you taken to make it a point that that thing is addressed, especially if you also recognize, Uguti, it is the responsibility of the senior management of the department that did not act responsibly. Secondly, I want to understand, Uguti, in whatever recommendations that you've presented and the steps that you've taken, have you taken into consideration the issue of the budgeting? Have you tried to engage the Ministry of Finance and Treasury to see to it that these recommendations that you are putting, they will be addressed in a matter of urgency? Thirdly, now that you understand, Oganya, you recognize the unions that are there and the military bargaining council that is there, how do we then plan to strengthen the military bargaining council to make it a point that it functions at a maximum level so that the needs or the challenges that are faced by the soldiers are addressed in a relevant way? Thank you.
I've noted Mama Mkabadeli, and I've noted Nomnyu Mama, and then I'll give you Tatum Fundisi after the two mamas have spoken in the commission. Tatu Judge, Mankala Mama Mkabadeli. Bye.
Thank you, Chair. After the two mamas. Chair, I already requested to read the topics. On top there is a short-term planned consultation. The question from that it falls under short-term planned. So we haven't sat down as yet with the different political parties. So we can't help you with that question because it hasn't come. It's short-term planned. One. Two, the question of the finance, Minister of Finance, that comes from the WHIP, it's short-term planned. Once we finish that consultation with the Minister of Finance and National, we'll do that. You'll hear about it. The last thing is what steps it's hidden in the response from the chair that the report went to the minister. Would you have taken steps without the knowledge of yourself via the minister? Because we want to believe you still need to meet with the minister so that she can share with you that short-term report. So we know what is planned, but you can't divulge it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, I wanted to add on to the list of areas of concern that you identified, you know, during our visit. And in this instance, I want to talk about the healthcare facilities in the army. The hospitals of the military used to be the flagship of healthcare facilities in the country. And we went to one mill hospital that is certainly decaying in infrastructure, which also, you know, refers to the issue of the public works department relationship with the SNADF. And also the morale of the personnel, the medical doctors. You know, for you to attract medical personnel, you really need a conducive environment. Not only salaries, but, you know, the facilities that attract people to go and study there and work there. So that is one area that really concerned us as well as the equipment issues where they don't even have a radiologist. Now, you know that radiology is the heart of diagnosis of disease. So if you don't even have a resident radiologist, and then you have to outsource that, at what a price? So I think the healthcare facilities also are an area of concern. Thank you.
After the two moments. Thank you. I should like to, Honorable Chair, to correct the impression that this commission has gone wobbly, to quote the Honorable Member. We have not gone wobbly at all. We were given terms of reference in terms of which we came to present ourselves to this committee. The concern arose after that, relating to the matter of our engagement with the trade unions. That matter was not pronounced upon at the time, and we already had our program, and we went ahead with that program. Subsequent to that, communication was sent, I understand, to the chair of our commission by email, which, as he has explained, did not receive. It was not at the time in Bloemfontein where his email was. Subsequent to that, the minister took the trouble to meet with the commission specifically to present this, expressing her surprise that we have not received this. So there is no wobble about this matter. We have an understanding of those terms. But the other thing that I wanted to address, I want to express appreciation of the reference to a grievance mechanism in this regard, because the rest of the South African workforce actually does have access to the CCMA. And I think it would be very awkward for the military to be using the CCMA. So I'm quite sure that this is something that does need attention. We are in the process of working on the bill, which will come before the committee in due course.
But the real point that I would like to make in the light of all these concerns is that we are aware that we're living under very difficult financial times. But if it were at all within our power, I believe I would like to say this committee needs to brace itself to support the minister who will need resources in order to engage. This is not the sort of thing that can stay in a regular budget. I'm quite sure that the minister is going to need your help. And to the extent that we can communicate that, really, it will be important for you to recognize that the minister is going to need money very fast to respond to these challenges. Thank you.
You know, I don't want to give all the members of the commission to start narrating. I just was giving an opportunity to respond to questions. Because you would also want to, you must know that we came in because we just wanted to listen to the commission. But members of parliament have to go and they've got different things to do. Can I really give the chance to conclude on this matter if the commission doesn't get worried so that I can close the meeting? Members of parliament, they're fine, huh? Yes. No, I'll come back to you, David.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think that my co-commissioners have tried to respond to all the other questions, except one question which, should I say, the former chair or the deputy chair reserved it for me. What have we done about what we saw during our visit to soldiers? The conditions that are described as unbearable because the backstop with senior management. That's a very good question, which opened up a can of worms. And which brings to the fore the civil-military relations. Initially, we consulted with all the generals, and they all told us about what the problems are. And the problems related to the budget, which is controlled in terms of the act by the secretariat, who is appointed in terms of Section 204 of the Constitution, who in terms of the Public Management Act is the accounting officer. So the buck stops with it. We then engage the secretaries, but this is what we hear. You're not giving the money. He says, no, that's not what's happening. This is how it happens. But the problem that we're seated with is we now went to Lens, went to Joronkop, and we saw what we saw. And we thought we need to engage the senior management about what we saw and ask them, what is it that you intend to do? Mr. Matupi is here. He said to us, I'm aware of the conditions at Joronkop. I agree with you. They are appalling. I have a problem. There's nothing I can do about them. I have 900 million rand. I'm quoting him. I have 900 million rand that I can deploy to remedy that situation. But my problem is, in terms of protocol, I can only do it through the Department of Public Works. The Department of Public Works doesn't have personnel. They don't have the staff. What's going to happen is, come the end of the financial year, I'll have to take 900 million rand back because I can't employ it. So it's another issue that we are interrogating. How the secretariat impact on the efficient functioning of the Federal Commission of Defence Force. We had intended, because of the conflicting version, to have a joint meeting with the Chief of Staff, with the secretariat, where we can confirm them with the issues and tell us what the solution is. We're still going to have that meeting, as you saw on the agent meetings that we're going to have.
Members of Parliament, I think you have heard the report from the Commission. And as Mamum Kabadeli have expressed it, it is a short interim report that has been brought in front of you. Essentially, the report was coming so that they can see exactly if the commission is still keeping to its own mandate. But I do think that we all say as members of parliament, not wobbly, but we give you the support that we deserve in the work that you're doing. You have our support. We think that you've done a tremendous job. We know the nature of problems, but we're looking for guidance of how to get out of the problems so that we could be able to go forward beyond our problems. Yes.
I must say that in how you have handled this issue of the unions, it's not a falsified approach. It's a realistic one. And it's a reality that we, as members of parliament, have to come alive to and find a way of dealing with it. You see, because I can tell you of now, I was with the unions over this weekend. They are not convinced. They want to have, and they want to exist within the defense force. So it's not going to be your problem. It's a problem that we'll have to deal with as members of parliament, beyond your report. So there's nothing else, but I expect more than that. No, I'm closing, David, now. So what I'm saying is that can we wish you really to go on a nice Christmas and enjoy yourselves, you see, and whilst I can see that there's a report that is being expected from you during this period, but do take time off. Members of Parliament, David, would have to go to Doornkop in January. As you come back, we'd have to go there ourselves. And it's very clear that Public Works would have to come in front of us, both with the Secretary of Defense. That would have to be our first responsibility to attend to assist some of the small results that we're hearing from the Commission itself. So rather than hitting the head of the Commission harder here, it's not going to help us. Let's also wish you members of Parliament to go on a nice holiday. And when we come back, we start doing and get down to it. People in the media, Christelle and your team, no, save it, no. Can I really thank you for giving us a lot of, for you to give some and show some coverage to our own committee. Would really want to continuously appreciating the work and your attention that you're giving to our own committee. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't agree, but we appreciate that you are, like, making yourself available and trying to bring some of the issues that you are raising in the commission. We also want to say to you, enjoy your holiday. I know, Christelle, there's not much to be written of the committee from today. Please, just take your holiday for some time. But let's all enjoy, and let's meet again in the coming new year. Thank you, and thank you from the SABC also for all the good work that you're doing. Thank you to everybody. Bye-bye.
David, one.
Hey, you can't do that.